ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ നമോ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീവിം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ടെക്സ്റ്റ് 40 ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി മനോ ബുദ്ധിർ അസ്യാധിഷ്ഠാനമുച്യതെ ഏതേർ വിമോഹയത്യേഷ ജ്ഞാനമാവർത്തി ദേഹിനാം ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി മനോബുദ്ധിർ അസ്യ അധിഷ്ഠാനമുച്യതെ ഏതേർ വിമോഹയത്യേഷ ജ്ഞാനം ആവർത്തി ദേഹിനാം കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദ സെൻസസ് ദ മൈൻഡ് ആൻഡ് ഇന്റലിജൻസ് ആർ ദ സിറ്റിംഗ് പ്ലേസസ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് ലസ്റ്റ് വിച്ച് വെയിൽസ് ദ റിയൽ നോളജ് ഓഫ് ദ ലിവിംഗ് എൻറ്റിറ്റി ആൻഡ് ബിവിൽഡേഴ്സ് ഹിം കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദ സെൻസസ് ദ മൈൻഡ് ആൻഡ് ഇന്റലിജൻസ് ആർ ദ സിറ്റിംഗ് പ്ലേസസ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് ലസ്റ്റ് which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Indriyani manobuddhir asya adhishthanam uchyade and eder vimohayatyesha jnanam avartya dehinam. So we're discussing this on last Thursday that in these desires or this ajnanam, ajnanam means this ignorance, is in three places, in intelligence, in the mind and in the senses. How do they work? It starts from the intelligence first. If the ajnanam or ignorance is in intelligence, it will manifest in the mind and in the senses. It will manifest in the mind and the senses. what I gave the examples that our understanding of beauty, our understanding of beauty, our understanding of examples like the food, how false intelligences developed in our head, false understanding, and on that false understanding mind is making, creating a lot of imaginations inside, and accordingly the senses will act on that particular situations, act on the particular situations. So ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി ദുഷ്പൂരേണ ഇത് വേഴ്സ് ബിഫോർ ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദുഷ്പൂരേണ അനലേന ച ഈ സേസ് ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ടാക്കിൾഡ് ഇൻ ദി ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ് ഇറ്റ് കനോട്ട് ബി ടാക്കിൾഡ് എൽസ്വെയർ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ദി ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ബി ടാക്കിൾഡ് ബിക്കോസ് അജ്ഞാനം ഈസ് ഇൻ ദി ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ് ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ദർ ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ബി ക്ലിയർഡ് ഓഫ് ഫസ്റ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ബി ക്ലിയർഡ് ഓഫ് ഫസ്റ്റ് സോ യു ആർ സേയിങ് ദാറ്റ് the intelligence will say to us, it has to be like this, it has to be like that. Just like we're talking about the food, isn't it? Food example, that somehow or the other, the intelligence is telling us the jalebi has to be in this particular shape. And you spend a lot of energy and time in preparing it. Practically, if you look at it, it's only flour and sugar and ghee or whatever that is going into it. But intelligence is telling us that unless it is in that form, it is not correct. It's a false impression in the head, isn't it? And the result of that, hours and hours we spend on this process to prepare it, to satisfy our that imagination inside. Where this imagination came? Imagination has come from the intelligence. Intelligence has dictated to us that it has to be like this, otherwise it's not jalebi. Or it has to be like this, otherwise it's not laddu. Or whatever the cooking we are cooking. But for that purpose, we are willing to spend a lot of time in that process to satisfy the tongue. Because it's the form that is important for us. Laddu in that form only is acceptable. Jalebi in that particular form is only acceptable. So all that ignorance is where? It's in the head. It's in the intelligence. And that comes through the mind in the form of different imaginations and then cheshta. Cheshta means the senses act on that basis. Senses acts. So activities of the senses, imagination of the mind, ignorance in the intelligence. This is, you can see in every step in our life. And Krishna is saying there, kama rupam durasadam. That kamam, desire inside, has stayed in the intelligence in the form of this ignorance. Just like about the beauty, we have so many different impressions about beauty, isn't it? And because we have that ignorance in the intelligence, we give so much value to the gold. And gold is nothing but something we have dug from the earth and brought it out and hung up in all the ears and neck and everywhere and think that I look very beautiful. And this is ignorance. This is in the intelligence. Some form you give and give importance to that and thinking that's beautiful. So similarly, they're saying they go all the way down to the sea to bring the pearls from there. And it's some kind of garbage from the bottom of the sea, you bring it and hang it up everywhere and saying, I'm looking very beautiful. This is the intelligence, the ignorance in the intelligence. So similarly, why? Because we are seeing some beauty in there. And that beauty, what we see in particular form, is a kind of ignorance. It's a kind of ignorance. So similarly, if you look at everything in this world, you will see many things are based on this ignorance in the intelligence we are acting here. And that takes away, that is coming from Rajogunam. Krishna is saying that. That comes from Rajogunam. So, in buddhi, in intelligence, it stays in the form of ajnanam, ignorance. And the result of that, it will start activating the senses. And the mind will continuously imagine things centered around this. So, it's all what they call as brahmam. Remember, brahmam? Brahmam means out of the four things. Brahmam, pramadam, vipralipsa, karanapadam. Out of the four defects, one of them is brahmam. Isn't it? Brahmam is Brahmam comes in this form that it will continuously mislead us in different ways. Continuously mislead in different ways. The same thing in the Shastram, they call it as Marumarichika. Marumarichika. Marumarichika means like a mirage. Mirage, isn't it? Then you go all the way, you find, hoping that there is water, but there is no water there. In the same way, we think, for example, when you see a nice jewelry sold in the market, people go and do the shopping, and they buy this, and they think, if I put it on me, I look very beautiful. I look very beautiful. This thought comes in. Where is this thought coming from? It's coming from the intelligence, which is in the ajnanam, in the intelligence. That's what Krishna is saying here. Then after putting a new necklace, there's nothing new has happened. No special happiness in anywhere, except that you have imagined yourself that you're looking more beautiful with that. Some impression in the, some fancy or imagination inside. Why? Because so much after seeing the object, you have centered a lot of your thoughts around that and some imagination has developed inside. Krishna is saying all this kind of ignorance is coming from the ignorance in the intelligence. Similarly, everything, if you take all the sweets, basic ingredients are same in jalebi, laddu, rasagulas and sandesh. Basic ingredients are sugar, milk, but all in different shapes it comes out. But we give, it has to be like this, otherwise it's not right. We say like that, isn't it? Somebody likes rasamalai, somebody likes sandesh, somebody likes burfi. But whatever it is, the ingredients are same and the impact on the body is the same, but that form is important for us. And like this, different kinds of ignorance in the head. One wonders, isn't it, when Krishna says all these things, it's ignorance. We are saying that, oh no, it's not ignorance, it's we give so much importance to these things because of the ignorance inside. But the mind is telling us it has to be prepared in a particular form, otherwise it's not jalebi. Otherwise it's not jalebi. So as soon as you put it in the mouth, it goes into the stomach straight away. And then, but we give importance to the form still. Once it has gone into the mouth, form has no value anymore. Isn't it? But we gave importance to the... If you keep it in the hand, you can keep looking at the beauty of the jalebi or laddu, whatever it is. And so much effort to prepare all these things. So, in every object in this world, it is like that. Initially, ignorance in the intelligence. Later on, in the mind, imagination. And finally, it activates the senses. It activates the senses. In these three different places... In three different forms, all the desires stays inside and continuously gives us trouble. Continuously gives us trouble. We don't know because we have got so used to it, we don't consider them as trouble anymore. But strictly Krishna's point of view is that in these three different locations, in the intelligence, mind and the senses, this ignorance is staying there and it continuously gives us a lot of trouble. And that is what is the next verse. Tasmad, Krishna says. Tasmad. Tasmad tvam indriyanyadau. Niyamya bharadarshabham. Papanam prajahyakhenam. Jnana vijnana nashanam tasmatvam indriyanyadau niyamya bharadarshabham papmanam prajahahyenam jnana vijnana nashanam tasmatvam indriyanyadau niyamya bharadarshabham papmanam prajahahyenam Jnana Vijnana Nashanam. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So, Tasmad, Tum Indriyani Ado Niyamya Bharadarshava. Krishna says to Arjuna, therefore, Bharadarshava, Rishabha, who was born in Bharada's race. Rishabha's son was Bharada, wasn't it? Lord Rishabha's son, Rishabhadev's son was Bharada. And Arjuna was born in that race, of Bharat Maharaj's race. So therefore he is calling Bharadarshava. Indriyani Ado Niyamya, he says. Start with the senses first. Why? Because it is through the senses that ragadvesham develops, isn't it? Ragadvesham. All these examples are to say to us that there is ragam and dvesham inside us. There is no question about that. It's already there. So ragadvesham develops through the senses. So Krishna's point is, without ragadvesham, how to experience the sense objects? Do you understand? Without ragadvesham, ragadvesham means attachment and aversion. Without attachment and aversion, how to experience the sense objects? That's what that word. Indriyani ado niyamya. He says there, isn't it? In that verse. Indriyani ado niyamya means, without attachment and aversion, how to experience the sense objects. We have to remember at this point one thing what Krishna said before. Earlier, if you remember, Ragadvesha Vimuktaischu Indriyan Vishayescharan. Remember that verse? It was in the second chapter. Krishna said that Ragadvesha Vimuktaischu Vishayan Indriyescharan. 64, wasn't it? Yeah. In the second chapter, if you look, you'll see there. 64. Yeah. The same Rajogunam was discussed then in the second chapter. That's when Krishna says that Ragadesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Atma Vashir Vidhayalpa Prasadam Adhigachadi. One who can control his senses by practicing the regulated principles of freedom can obtain complete mercy of the Lord and thus become free from all attachment and aversion. So there also Krishna said that attachment and aversion should not happen. Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran. We have to learn to enjoy the senses without getting attachment and aversion to it. Yeah, because attachment and aversion will cause problems, and that's what Krishna is saying again here, that Rajogunam which is present inside, say Tasmatum Indriyan Yado Niyamya Bharadarshava. In order that you can enjoy the you can experience the sense objects in this world, because sense objects you cannot stop experiencing. That will always continue, whether we like it or not, because we have come with the senses. The five senses of knowledge is there, five senses of action is there. And senses of knowledge will go after the sense objects, isn't it? The eyes will go for looking for some nice form to see. The ears will like to hear some nice sound, pleasing sound. And the tongue will go after something nice to taste. The nose will go after something nice to smell. All these things will happen. You cannot shut them completely. But what Krishna is saying is, Niyamya Bharadarshava, Indriyanyadav Niyamya Bharadarshava, to bring Niyamam into it. What is a Niyamam? Niyamam means this, that you are able to do it without Ragadvesham. That's Niyamam. If you can experience that, continuously go through this world with the senses doing its job, but without creating any ragam or dvesham inside. And that's the secret, what Krishna is talking about here. That ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. That whatever that has come to us in a natural way or due to our prarabdham. Due to our prarabdham. All these things are prarabdham only. Whatever happiness we are getting is prarabdham. Whatever distress that's coming is also prarabdham. Whatever sense enjoyment is coming is prarabdham. And when we don't get something according to our desire, that's also prarabdham. Prarabdham is the whole centered around that. The whole body is working. Whole body is operating centered around prarabdham. There's nothing we can do about it. Prarabdha shariram it's called. When you come here, you come with this body. You come with this body, a lot of things are already decided there prior to accepting this body. That is why we get the body of a male or a female or a particular shape, particular place, particular parents and particular background we grow up. All these things are very much decided much before this we have taken this body. It may sound very difficult for many people to accept this, because sometimes I've seen this. Some even devotees, I'm saying this, Shastram says one thing, right? Shastram says one thing. When acharyas talk about it, you will always notice that in their statements, it may appear as though there is some contradiction. It may appear like that. But what happens is, when great authorities, great acharyas, when they talk, they will see the people where they are at when they are talking to them, what level they are at. If you from the very beginning, from a very high level if you speak, they will not able to follow it through. So sometimes what they'll do, they will say certain things in order to come to your level and to talk to their level to talk to the people. I give you an example. Prabhupada has spoken about detachment renunciation a lot in many instances. Because based on the Shastram, it's there. But sometimes, and about Prabhupada also said, quoting Prahlad Maharaj, because Prahlad Maharaj is the authority on this, where he says very clearly, you will only get what destiny has kept for you in this life. Nothing more, nothing less. All these things Prabhupada has discussed in the Bhagavadam and in the classes. Prabhupada has also said at another time, you are the architect of your own destiny. Now, a person who hears these two things, it causes confusion inside. So, one devotee, where I was talking yesterday, she was saying to me that you are the architect of your own destiny, Prabhupada said. She says like that. That has gone into her head very strongly. Why? That Rajogunam inside has given this understanding. This is where Shastram comes. Shastram is saying one thing. Acharyas will speak certain things in some places, in some instances. Prabhupada has said that. It is not that he hasn't said that. He did say that. But if you take that as the everything and reject the Shastram, then you are lost. Then you are lost. Shastram is authority, always. Whenever he may have said many things like this, Prabhupada has spoken many things according to circumstances. Sometimes he found some people were finding it very difficult to accept certain things what he said. They had so much, resistance from inside to say what Prabhupada was saying. And it was difficult for them to accept it. So in order to smoothen it down, Prabhupada will say sometimes certain things. Sometimes he will talk about scientists, sometimes he will talk about the different things what is discussed, politics in the newspaper and all that. Politics, war between India and Pakistan and all this. The devotees hold on to these things as important. Prabhupada has made a comment about it. In his normal conversations, many things he has spoken. But that itself is not the conclusion of the Shastram. Shastram speaks to you purely from a spiritual platform. Shastram will not talk to us anything from the... But when Acharyas come, they will speak in a way that we can relate with them somehow. So many of the conversations, if you look, Prabhupada's conversations with many leaders, you will find he has discussed many topics. Sometimes he will say, the girls are very beautiful in Paris. That's a statement from Prabhupada. And people go to France for a sense enjoyment. They come to London for education. Who comes to London for education? What education do you get here in London? Now, if you take all these as Prabhupada mentioned many times like this in the conversation, you have to know where you have to leave things behind and go after the spiritual thought. Then we have to make that decision. Prabhupada also spoke in his conversation many, many things like that. Now, some devotees, he has made also statements that about other people, you know, he mentioned many things. He said that Nehru has taken birth as a dog in Sweden. Now, if you ask for the proof of all that, there's no proof for any of these things, isn't it? What Prabhupada meant was that we have to understand these things in the proper way. What he was saying was that it can even happen to any great personality. That if your consciousness is not Krishna consciousness, it can happen to you. Material nature doesn't show any discrimination at that time. It will treat you in a particular way. Doesn't matter whether it's Nehru or somebody else. It doesn't matter. Everyone is subject to the laws of material nature. Only in that context he spoke that. But one astrologer has said this, that Nehru has taken birth like this. So can you accept this as an authority? No, you can't accept as a complete authority in these things. It is a remark Prabhupada has made like that. Similarly, there are many instances you will find this in the conversations, many things Prabhupada said, many things during the conversations. But for us, for those who, we have to, certain things we have to take it in that particular level it was spoken, and we have to learn how to leave it behind. Shastram is important. If you want to progress spiritually, if you hold on to that as Shastram, I was giving that example. Then Prabhupada wrote this book, Science of Self-Realization. It's actually not a book he wrote in that sense. It was a book which was compiled by BBT at a certain time, picking up different conversations Prabhupada had with different personalities. That book was compiled like that. So recently I heard this discussion between some sannyasis that they were saying there that The Science of Self-Realization is a very good book. People like reading that. And maybe we should distribute that book more than Bhagavatam. And they started saying that when we printed this book in BBT, they sent a copy of that to Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada for his opinion about it. So Prabhupada looked through the book and said that it is nice, nicely compiled and everything. But he added to that, Bhagavatam is important, he said. That was his reply. Because the proper understanding of spiritual life will not come from conversations and the letters and all that. It will only come from the Shastram, from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That is where things are coming from, the truth, absolute truth, Krishna. It's coming through Bhagavad Gita, coming through Bhagavatam. So we at no stage, because Bhagavata philosophy may look a little bit heavy for people to learn, to follow, but if you want them to bring along on spiritual life, then you have to present Bhagavatam to them, or Bhagavad Gita to them. You cannot present on the surface, superficial level, all the other books what we have. We have so many books, isn't it? All those books can help on a superficial level to understand certain things, but Shastram is Shastram, and that you cannot change it, and you cannot minimize its position, its value either. So Krishna is saying here that how do we act without ragadvesham, isn't it? Though indriyani ado niyamya, Krishna says ado niyamya, that means that whatever according to prarabdham, whether happiness or distress, without sticking to it, experience it. That is the point, what Krishna is saying. Without sticking, whatever that comes, accept it in a way that you're not affected by it. That is the art, what Krishna is saying. If you do that, all the vasanas will go from inside. The vasanas inside will disappear. If you stay enjoying it, keep on tasting it and enjoying it, then vasana will stay back. Vasana will stay back. If you desire, you want to have more of it, then again vasana will stay. Vasanas will stay. If you insist that it should not come from inside, then also vasana will stay. That's the way vasana works. The vasanas what we have created inside us, karma vasanas that has come with us, that karma vasana has to go from inside, isn't it? Vasana chayam, that is called. It's called vasana chayam. Krishna is saying, if you try to enjoy these senses and keep desiring it more, vasanas will stay. Vasana won't go. Because that is vasana. Vasana is that desiring further again. That is a vasana. If you keep on enjoying it and insisting on to have it more, then also vasana will stay. And also vasana will stay. While enjoying, if you start thinking it is very nice and you are enjoying it, vasana will stay. If you keep desiring for it more, vasana will stay. On the other hand, inside, if you develop a resistance inside, oh, I don't want this, I don't want this, and still you have to keep doing it, vasanas will stay. So vasana is a very funny thing it is. In that way, how it controls us. Even if you inside, if you say, I don't want it, I'm continuously rejecting it and trying to, and still you are going through that sense enjoyment, Krishna says vasanas will stay. Still it won't go. So what is the option? Krishna says, take it as it comes, but don't get affected by it in that way. Don't stick to it. That stickiness is the problem. Sticking to something. That if you don't have it, you're feeling miserable. And if you get it, you're feeling happy. So, Ragadvesha Vyavasthito. Krishna said this also earlier, that the only way you can do that is, when something, happiness is coming, don't fall into that. That some happiness has come in life. If you take that approach, he says when distress comes, it won't also disturb you. And that way, Ragadvesham won't happen. So, sense enjoyment is all happiness, isn't it? That's what brings happiness to us. So when sense enjoyment comes, Krishna says, if you have learned how to keep away from that happiness that is coming from sense enjoyment, then you have succeeded in not sticking to it. You won't stick to it. It's a very subtle thing what Krishna is explaining, that only by practicing it, it can develop as a habit. And those who have developed that habit in abundance are the Brahmanas. Who have developed that habit in abundance is the Brahminical nature. That any kind of sense gratification is not bothering them. They are not attracted by it inside. Attraction is not there because vasanas are very little vasanas inside. So in all these three cases, vasana will stay back. If you think that I don't want to get caught up in this, still vasana will stay inside. Still vasana will stay. If you insist that you want to have it more, vasana will stay. And if you want that vasana should leave me, then also it will stay. So without knowing any of these things and not trying to hide them behind, if they leave us, that all these distresses will, all the sense objects will come and go. That is called niyamanam. Niyamanam means this. Niyamanam means that not giving importance to it, anything. Just ignoring it. It's coming and it's going. And if it, that way, if you take it, you won't feel a specific attachment to anything, and it will become a habit that, if it comes, it's fine. If it doesn't come, it doesn't matter. That attitude. That is relaxed about it. If it comes, it's fine. But you're not bothered whether it comes or not. If that, Krishna says, if that attitude is there, and automatically, he says, all sense enjoyment nature will leave us from inside. In other words, it will turn the person very inward looking. It will turn the person very inward looking. So, tasmad, Krishna says, control indriyam, niyam, indriyas, he says, tasmas, indriyanyado niyamya. Indriyanyado niyamya. Papmanam prajahi. That papmanam prajahi means that this is the thing, this mood inside is the a thing which creates sinful reactions inside, which creates the vasanas inside. So kill that mood by this process and take it away. What does this sinful activity does? Krishna says in the next word, if you remember, papmanam prajahi hyenam jnana vijnana nashanam. See that? What it does is, this ragadvesham, what created inside, what it does is, Krishna is saying there, it is papmanam, it is sinful. Krishna considers sinful. That sense gratification which has created ragadvesham inside is sinful. Why is it sinful? It says here, prajahyanam jnana vijnana nashanam. It destroys your jnanam and it destroys your vijnanam as well. It destroys the jnanam and destroys the vijnanam, both. Yeah, you have to know what jnana vijnanam means first. People, if you ask devotees, they'll say jnana means knowledge, vijnana means practical application or something. Actually, it is not like that. There's more to it than that. That is in one word, you can put it like that. It's a very theorized attitude. If you want to understand what jnana vijnana means, you have to go to 7th chapter. You know what the 7th chapter is titled? Jnana vijnana yogam, it's called. The 7th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is titled as, translated as knowledge of the absolute, isn't it? Actually, the Sanskrit word used there is jnana vijnana yogam. It says like that, isn't it? So, tasmatvam indriya nyado niyamya bharadarshava. So, the indriya nayamam means this control of the senses. Control of the senses does not mean, when you say control of the senses, the meaning goes away, straight away. Immediately it brings the impression inside, I have to control my senses, I have to tighten him up, I have to keep him under my control. This is how it comes in, isn't it? When you say control something, that means you have to forcefully control it. Niyamam is different. This word has no equivalent English translation, Niyamo Bharadarshava. Niyama means, actually what Krishna has spoken is that to handle that sense experience without having ragadvesham. In a way, that is niyama, not control, sense control. Sense control is forcefully stopping the senses of having something. That won't work, Krishna has said that, because that hasn't done anything good. Suppose you have forcefully controlled your senses, your vasanas are still there. It won't go. So what's the point in doing that? So Krishna is saying here, that indriyani niyam yadav, isn't it? Indriyani yadav niyamya bharadarshava. First you niyamyam. Niyamyam means how to regulate the senses in such a way that we are able to experience what the senses are doing without creating any attachment and aversion inside, without ragam and without dvesham inside. And this can only happen, Krishna is saying, accept anything what is coming in life, which prarabdham brings. Don't go after that, looking for sense enjoyment. This is how we settle down in our spiritual life. Otherwise, we won't settle down.
If you keep on running around all the world, it won't happen. What prarabdham brings in life, accept it. Don't go looking for sense enjoyment, he says. Prarabdham, what prarabdham brings to us? Prarabdham means that a householder, in householder life, certain happiness will come when you are having prasadam. That is, in the prasadam's prarabdham, that has come in that form. If you have some, wearing some nice clothes, in it, naturally if it has come, accept it. Naturally means to cover your body, you need some clothes, whatever that comes, take it. But beyond that, don't go after looking for the best clothes in the world to look impressing others and all that. This is ajnanam in the buddhi. Similarly, eating, sleeping, everything, living throughout life, in that way Krishna says, if you look, that is what he says here, indriya nyado niyamyam. Niyamam, always regulation. And if you does like that, he says, that otherwise, papmanam prajahihyanam jnana vijnana nashanam. Otherwise, this lust inside slay the destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Now, if you jnana vijnana nashanam, what is jnana vijnana? Jnanam, according to the 7th chapter, if you look, you will see there, the material body, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, this is all knowledge. Try to understand this. It's a very subtle thing if you think about it. Material body, mind, intelligence, false ego, this is all knowledge. Self-realization is vijnanam. Yeah. Material body, mind, intelligence, I'll repeat this again. Material body, mind, intelligence, false ego, this is all jnanam. Self-realization is vijnanam. Self-realization is vijnanam. How do you know that? If you look at the verses there, you will see that in the 7th chapter, Krishna says, Bhumi apanalo vayu khammano buddhi revaja ahankara iti yatma bhinna prakriti rashtada. Bhinna prakriti ashtada. Remember that verse in the 7th chapter? I don't know the verse number.
Number four,
is it? Yeah. Okay. Right. So look at that verse. Bhumi apam analam vayu kham mano buddhi evaja ahankara iti yame bhinna prakriti ashtatha. The five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, and then added to that the mind, intelligence and false ego. All this is jnanam. All this is jnanam. All this is jnanam. So, if Krishna says here that this all belongs to prakriti, isn't it? Bhinna prakriti ashtada. Krishna says they are all prakriti. Ashtada means eight. All these eight is prakriti. Prakriti is material nature. Material nature is knowledge. You deal with material nature, we are dealing with knowledge. When you're dealing with material nature, you're dealing with knowledge. And then in the next verse, if you look, apareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabodham mahabaho yeyedham dharyade jagat. See the next verse. Apareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabodham mahabaho yeyedham dharyade jagat. Krishna is saying there that in that verse, prakritim vidhi me param. There is something superior to prakriti. Krishna says, what is that? Jiva bodham mahabaho yedam dharide jagat. Jiva bodham, the living entity in identity with the soul. Identity with the soul. So, when the knowledge is centered around mind, body, intelligence, ego, and the material elements, the eight things, that is knowledge. When you go to the para state, higher, superior to this, is the other thing, which is the realization, self-realization, which is related to the soul, and that is vijnanam. Vijnanam. So, vijnanam is important, not jnanam. Vijnanam is important. It is in vijnanam that you realize the self, not through jnanam. not through jnanam. Through jnanam you don't realize the self. Through vijnanam you realize the self. Vijnanam means, what is that vijnanam? Vijnanam is this. It's only in vijnanam you are conscious of your existence. I am existing. Isn't it? Which comes from the soul. Everything else is coming from the false ego, from the intelligence, from the mind, from the body, from the senses. All other understanding is coming from these things. But my existence, I am existing, I am there. My identity as the soul is coming from Paraprakriti, from the consciousness, from the soul it's coming. That signal, my existence signal, is coming from the soul. And that is why it's called Vijnanam. And when we realize that, that is self-realization. And that is Vijnanam. So, Jnanam and Vijnanam, we have to clearly separate it out. Jnanam is in relationship with the body, mind, senses, intelligence, ego. These are all part of the Jnanam. But, Apareyam Itastvanyam Prakritim Vidhime Param Jivabhudam. Jivabhudam, the living entity, is not any of these things. None of these things is the living entity. Living entity is Jivabhudam Mahabaho Edam Dhairyade Jagat. This whole creation is working based on that principle, active principle behind it, the soul. So when that is realized, that is Vijnanam. So Krishna says here, that is what is Jnana Vijnana Yogam. That separation between the self from the non-self. Self from the non-self. So, when Krishna says here, Jnana Vijnana Nashanam, in this verse you see, text 41, the last line, Krishna is saying, Papmanam Prajahihyanam, Jnana Vijnana Nashanam. He says, Jnana Vijnana Nashanam. What does it mean? That this, that means this lust, what has gone inside, what Krishna has spoken about, when it goes inside, in the body, it will come in the form of diseases. In the form of diseases, as well as sense enjoyment. It will come in the body. In the mind, it will create sankalpam and vikalpam. And it will disturb your peace inside. Shanti will go. Shanti will go. And in the intelligence, it will stay in the form of ignorance. In the form of ignorance and false ego. And false ego. This is all the result of this. That is what Krishna is saying, Jnana Vijnana Nashanam. Jnana Vijnana Nashanam means that once this lust, the enemy, kamam, what Krishna spoke about, kamarupam durasadam, he said, isn't it? Earlier, I think, he says, kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. If you look verse 39, Krishna said, kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. His eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire, he said. So that lust he is talking about, Krishna says, if it enters inside, it will destroy knowledge, jnanam and vijnanam. Both will be destroyed. It means that once this kamarupena kaunteya, kamam goes inside, it will destroy in the body. In the body it will appear as illnesses, it will in the form of ill health, and in the form of sense enjoyment. And in the mind it will come as sangalpam and vikalpam. All kinds of imaginations will develop centered around this. That means there is no peace inside. And in the intelligence it will manifest in the form of lack of clarity inside. No light inside. Intelligence is completely deluded, in other words. Completely deluded. And false ego will operate. And at the same time, in the form of vijnanam, it is inside us, aham spurti, that I am conscious of my existence, which is coming from the soul, isn't it? So, what will happen is, it will cover that consciousness. This lust inside will cover this consciousness I have, that I am existing as spirit soul. How come we identify with the body so strongly? Because I have lost our identity with the soul. That's the only answer to that. And how did this happen? Because the soul is covered by this, what Krishna calls as this kamam, inside desires. All very subtle, very difficult. Unless you spend some time to think about it, that clarity won't develop inside. Krishna is saying there that aham spurti, that spurti inside, I am that soul. Somehow I lost that. And I am this body now. Krishna is saying the soul is covered. വിജ്ഞാനനാശനം, ജ്ഞാനവിജ്ഞാനനാശനം. കാമം പാപ്മാനം പ്രദഹേഹ്യേണം ജ്ഞാനവിജ്ഞാനനാശനം. ജ്ഞാനം ആൻഡ് വിജ്ഞാനം ഹാസ് ബീൻ ഡിസ്ട്രോയിഡ് ബൈ ദാറ്റ് കാമം ഇൻസൈഡ്. സോ കണ്ടിന്യൂസ്ലി ദിസ് ഈസ് കോൾഡ് സ്ഫൂർത്തി. സ്ഫൂർത്തി മീൻസ് ദ സോൾ ഈസ് ഇൻസൈഡ് ആൻഡ് സോൾ ഈസ് ആക്ച്വലി വാട്ട് വി ആർ ആൻഡ് സം ഹോർ ദി അതർ ദാറ്റ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഇസ് നോട്ട് ഹാപ്പനിങ് വി ആർ റിയലൈസിങ് ഐഡന്റിഫൈങ് വിത്ത് ദ ബോഡി ഓൾ ദ ടൈം. All the time we are identifying with the body and thinking I am this body. Krishna says that's called spurti. Spurti means the soul illumination from inside, from the soul. Like soul is giving this illumination that I am existing, isn't it? That illumination is always there. At least when you think about it, I am existing, you know you are existing. Otherwise we don't think about it, so we don't exist. But at least when you think about it, I am existing, you know I am existing. And you also know very much inside that I cannot be this body. I cannot be this body. Body is coming, changing, it is taking various forms, boyhood, youthhood, old age, disease and death, and it is going. But I am not going. I am still existing. And the proof Krishna has given in Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, all I am existing. So I am not disappearing any time. So where is the question of me? Krishna says, based on the same thing, where is the question of you disappearing after leaving the body? Body will go, but you don't go. You stay. So this one point Krishna is want to emphasize and drill it into our head, that through Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam this conviction has to come. And this is what has happened to Parikshit also. Everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is centered around this one point, that we always exist. We don't go. We cannot disappear, because earlier in the second chapter Krishna said this, isn't it? Nasade vidyate bhavo. ഭാവോ വിദ്യതേ സദാ ഉഭയോരഭി ദൃഷ്ടവന്തം സ്തനയോ തത്വദർശിഭി. ദാറ്റ് വേദിക് ഫിലോസഫി ഈസ് സെൻറ്റേഡ് അറൌണ്ട് ദിസ്. സത് ഈസ് ഓൾവേസ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ്, അസത് വിൽ നെവർ എക്സിസ്റ്റ്. സോ ബോഡി ഈസ് അസത്, സോൾ ഈസ് സത്. സോ സോൾ ഹാസ് ടു എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ ഓൾ സർക്കംസ്റ്റാൻസസ്. ബട്ട് വി ആർ നോട്ട് ഫീലിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ടുഡേ. വൈ? കൃഷ്ണ സെയിങ് ഹിയർ, കാമരൂപം പ്രജാ പാപ്മാനം പ്രദഹ്യേനം ജ്ഞാനവിജ്ഞാനനാശനം. അവർ ജ്ഞാനം and our vijnanam has been covered by this kamam inside. So how to wipe out that kamam? Krishna said that ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyais charan. This ignorance has come in us, in intelligence, mind and the senses, by constantly engaged through the sense gratification process, which created so many vasanas inside in the form of ragam and dvesham. And that is thing what is covering our realization of the soul inside, and which is causing the identification with the body. It's a important conclusion in the Karma Yogam chapter, that it is this raga dvesham inside. We have got it. We can't say we don't have it. We all have this raga dvesham inside. The raga dvesham inside, which is caused by the vasanas that has developed inside due to our continuous sense gratification several lifetimes and even in this lifetime, which has created the vasanas inside and which is called kamam. Krishna calls it as kamam here. And this is the enemy, which Krishna says that papmanam prajahyenam prajahyenam jnana vijnana nashanam, that destroys your knowledge, jnanam of the shariram, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, everything, as well as it covers the soul and makes you to identify with the matter, So, this is the only reason that no matter how much time you spend in analysis of the self, of the soul, they will still ask the question, how should I do that? How should I engage in self-realization? How do I engage in self-realization? Where should I start? Where should I finish? All these questions will come. And they'll keep on asking this question. How to do it? Because you're not getting hold of the fact what has actually happened to us. What has happened to us? What is this jnana-nasham? And how to go back to that truth, what we are talking about, the soul. That is the next verse. If you look, you will see that. Text 42.
ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി പരാന്യാഹു ഇന്ദ്രിയേഭ്യ പരം മനാം മനസസ്തു പരാ ബുദ്ധേർ യോ ബുദ്ധേ പരതസ്തു സാം ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി പരാന്യാഹു ഇന്ദ്രിയേഭ്യ പരം മനാം മനസസ്തു പരാ ബുദ്ധേർ യോ ബുദ്ധേ പരതസ്തു സാം.
സോ ഹൗ ടു ഗോ ബാക്ക് ടു ദ സോൾ, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ്. ഹൗ ടു ഗോ ബാക്ക് ടു ദ സോൾ. യു മേ ബി തിങ്കിങ് വെൻ യു ആർ ഹിയറിങ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ്, വെൽ വെൻ ആം ഐ ഗോയിങ് ടു ഡു ഓൾ ദിസ് ഇൻ മൈ ലൈഫ്, ലൈഫ് ഈസ് ഓൾറെഡി കമ്മിങ് ടു എൻ എൻഡ് ഫോർ മെനി ഓഫ് എസ് ഹു ആർ 50 പ്ലസ്. ദർ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ലോട്ട് ടു ലുക്ക് ഫോർവേഡ് ടു. To start spiritual life from the beginning, from the fundamentals, everything to start with. It is very good if all this understanding is there from the early days in life, especially when we have the right age, when it goes all this understanding, then we will become much more internal, very much introspection will be there about these things. But once we are educated in on a very gross level, and when there is no subtleties in our mind, all this becomes very difficult at a later date. But even if it is so, it doesn't matter. Krishna has given one guarantee that this knowledge has that potency. Once it is heard, at some time it will act. In some form, it will come out through a person. That is the power of that knowledge. It's not due to anything else. Is the power, because it is the truth. What Krishna has spoken is the truth. The truth has to act at some point. So when it will come today or tomorrow, we don't know. At some point when it is needed, it has got the potency to act on a person. Because sometimes you can see, certain times in your own introspection, you come to certain correct decisions in life. How is that happening? That's only happening because there was some knowledge inside to support that decision. And if the knowledge is there, even though it may not immediately manifest in anyone, it will remain inside and it will come out in some form at the time when it is needed. When the problem. Whereas for a gross materialist who has not taken any instruction from the Shastram, he will be completely controlled by the senses and completely by the mind. Whereas this knowledge, which is related to the soul, what Krishna has spoken, and this discrimination between the self and the non-self, if that goes in from somewhere, it will come back at the time when it's needed. So Krishna is saying here, Indriyani paranyahu, indriyebhya paramana, manasastu parabuddhir, yo buddhe paradastusa. It's a famous verse. Many people will tell you this. Working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So, often everybody memorize this verse. And when you want to push your preaching, this is the first verse you throw at them. It says, the working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Don't stay on the sensual platform, we say to people. We say to them, don't stay on the mental platform. Don't stay on the intellectual platform. Come to the platform of the soul and then you are lost there. Up to that point, you are clear everything. Senses, we know how to platform of sense. We know very well. Mind also, we know. When it comes to intelligence, also we know. But when it comes to soul, we are lost there. So Krishna is going to explain to us that Indriyani paranyahu indriyebhya paramana manasastu parabuddhir yo buddhe paradastusa. Indriyam, the senses, are very subtle. Indriyam, our senses are very subtle. Indriyam, senses, means actually it is not the eyes, ears, nose, tongue or sense of touch. They all stay inside us in a very subtle form, the in senses. They stay inside us in a very subtle form. Where do they stay? Where do the senses stay in the subtle form? They stay in the mind. They stay in the mind. You see, without the help of the senses, how do you prove this? Without the help of the senses, in the dream state, you are seeing, you are listening, hearing, and you are also even touching. Sometimes you are touching in the dream state. And what's happening in the dream state is, although your gross senses have not come out of the mind and started functioning, because they are inside the mind, and in the dream state the mind is active, the senses are able to work there. Only difference is, in the vacant state, the senses comes and work through the gross body. In the dream state, the senses go and work through the mind. But normally, they are situated in the mind. This is the subtle thing behind it. The senses are normally situated in the mind. But in the vacant state, they come through the gross body and operate. So we are thinking that senses are all these holes, what is in the body. But senses are not these holes. Senses are the subtle elements that is inside the mind. That's why they are able to switch to the gross body or to the mind according to the state we are in. In the Jagrat state, it will walk through the body, and dream state, it will work through the mind. That's why in the dream state, you are able to see very clearly. You are seeing everything what's going on in the dream state. You are hearing, and you are also able to touch. You are communicating there, depending on the type of dream you have. Accordingly, all the senses are also functioning in the dream. So, therefore, you can see there that in dream state you are hearing, you are seeing, and you are smelling, and you are tasting. In other words, all the senses are in the mind in the sushma rupa. Which sushma rupa means in a very subtle level, they are present there. So, Krishna says, first control the senses. Isn't not control the right word, but niyamanam, Krishna says. Indriya ado niyamanam. Indriyebhya param manaha. Mind is more subtle than the senses. Mind is more subtle than the senses. And inside that mind is the intelligence. All the senses, intelligence, everything is staying inside the mind. And this mind is defined in the Brahma Sutram also is Nishchaya Atmika Mana. Nishchayam. It is inside the mind, some force comes up and makes a decision. Isn't it? That's buddhi. Buddhi is that thing which makes that decision. So, say on a particular issue, you keep on pondering over it in your mind, many things. Eventually, at some point, somebody pops up and says, this is the decision. Who is doing that? That's buddhi. That's the buddhi. So, although we can't see all these things, we can experience. Like the wind, you don't see. It touches your body, you know it. The wind is there, isn't it? Similarly, when you are pondering over various issues in your mind, or you want to make a decision about something, you keep on thinking the mind is bringing all sangalpam, vigalpam over the particular issue. And the mind is keep on pondering, and eventually some decision comes out from that, isn't it? That is, buddhi does that thing. So, you should do this, you should not do this. This is called in Shastram Adhyavasayam. Adhyavasayam means this decision making. Adhyavasayam. That Adhyavasayam is buddhi. Krishna used the word in Bhagavad Gita, Avyavasayinam. Earlier in the second chapter you will see Avyavasayinam. Avyavasayam, Adhyavasayam means all the same thing. In spiritual language, Adhyavasayam they call it, Jnanis call it as Adhyavasayam. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is called Avyavasayinam. He uses the word there. So, that thing which is staying inside as a witness to the intelligence is the soul, isn't it? Who is witnessing all these things happening inside us. What? The mind is working, and from there intelligence comes from making the decision. And somebody is witnessing all this behind that, and that is the soul. And that is the soul. And Krishna is saying here, Yo buddhe paratastusa. That person who is superior to him. Why is he superior? Because he is a witness to this. He is not involved in any of these things, but he is a witness to it. So, Krishna says here, that consciousness inside, that is a soul, isn't it? The consciousness, that you are conscious of all these things. Mind working, intelligence working, you are conscious of all, you are conscious. And that you is not the mind, not the intelligence, not we misunderstand it's our mind. Actually, it's not the mind. It's the soul inside who is Yo Buddhe Paradastusa. Krishna says he is Krishna, he is Paramatma, he is the Supreme Soul inside, who is witnessing all these things. Yo buddhe paratastusa. He is superior even to the intelligence. Just like senses are acting, senses enjoyment going on. Then mind is imagining various things and it creates various thoughts centered around the sense objects and sense enjoyment. And from there, while you are pondering over all these sense enjoyment through the mind, because as far as Krishna is concerned, everything what we do in this world is sense enjoyment. We shouldn't think that only when you are eating or doing something for enjoying the senses. No, all activities are sense enjoyment. All, as soon as you open your eyes, sense enjoyment has started. As soon as you hear something, sense enjoyment has started. As soon as you smell something, sense enjoyment started. You taste something, sense enjoyment started. You speak, sense enjoyment has started. So sense enjoyment is the only thing that goes on in this world. Nothing else. So Krishna's point is, the sense enjoyment is going on, and in that sense enjoyment, mind gets involved. And mind brings a lot of chittavritti. Thoughts comes through with that. Sankalpa, vikalpa, imaginations comes through that. In there, buddhi works and brings out some idea from that and decides this is what it is going to be. We're going to do this. So all these things have happened inside. But behind this, the soul who is a witness is the one who is observing all these things. And therefore Krishna says here, because he is not involved in any of these things, and because he is constantly watching, observing all these things, he is superior to the mind, intelligence, senses, everything. That is the reason why he is superior. Because he is a witness only, he has no participation in that, in this activity. So, Yo buddhe paradastasa, one who sees this thing all the time and one who is conscious of that, that you can see here that mind, intelligence, all this gets dissolved where? In sushupti, isn't it? In deep sleep state, everything gets dissolved. But he is still there. Who? The superior person. He is still there. And he is actually allowing buddhi to work, allowing the and mind to work and senses to work. All they are getting, all these things are happening because of only in his presence buddhi can work. Only in his presence mind can work. Only in his presence senses can work. Naturally that shows that he is the one who actually superior to all the others, isn't it? So that's why this verse is saying, Indriyani paranyahu indriyebhya parammana manasastu parabuddhe yo buddhe paratastu sa. That means, Indriyani Paranyahu, that senses are there and sense objects are there, but mind is superior to the senses because mind is more subtle than the senses. Senses are a little bit more gross, isn't it? You can clearly identify when sense enjoyment goes happening, which sense is enjoying. You can identify that. But Indriyabhya Paramana, superior to the sense objects is the mind because it's a little bit more subtle. Subtler than that, manasastu parabuddhi. Superior that is the buddhi, intelligence, because he is a little bit more subtle. But he is superior to all of them because he is only a witness. Paradastusa. Buddhe se paradastusa. And Krishna says to Arjuna, know him first. Realize him first. This person who is witnessing everything. And what is the benefit of knowing like that? That is the next verse. Verse 43. Evam buddhe param buddhva samstabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kamarupam durasadam evam buddhe param buddhva samstabhyatmanamatmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. Translation: thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to material senses, mind and intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher self and thus by spiritual strength conquer the insatiable enemy known as lust. Known as lust. Evam buddhya param, evam buddhe param buddhva സംസ്തഭ്യാത്മാനമാത്മനാഹ ജഹിശത്രു മഹാബാഹോ കാമരൂപം ദുരാസദം. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദേർ. സോ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് കൺക്ലൂഡിംഗ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത സെക്കൻഡ് തേർഡ് ചാപ്റ്റർ. കർമ്മയോഗം ഈസ് ഫിനിഷിംഗ് വിത്ത് ദിസ്. ഇൻ ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം, ഇൻ ദി ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം, ഇൻ ദി 16th ചാപ്റ്റർ വിച്ച് വിൽ സീ ലൈറ്റർ, എഗെയിൻ കൃഷ്ണ റിപ്പീറ്റ്സ് ദ സെയിം പോയിന്റ് ദർ. വാട്ട് ഈ സേസ് ദർ ഈസ് വാചം യച്ച മനോ യച്ച പ്രാണാന്യച്ച ഇന്ദ്രിയാണിച്ച ആത്മാനം ആത്മനോ യച്ച നഭൂയ കൽപ്പസേ ധ്വനേ. ദർ ഇസ് എ വേഴ്സ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദ 16th ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇൻ ദി ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ഇൻ ദി ഭാഗവതം, കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് വാചം യച്ച control your words, control your words, mano yachya, it's not exactly the control the word, right word is not control, niyamam, that's the right word, niyamanam, niyamanam means regulate them in such a way, regulate the mind, and pranan yachya, regulate the pranan also, and indriyanicha, senses also, atmanam atmano yachya nabhuya kalpade adhvane. He says, and the soul realizes self and stay in that spiritual position. Stay in the spiritual position. Realize what the soul is through all this, what Krishna has explained. Realize what that soul is and stay in the spiritual position. If you do like, which means that stay in your spiritual identity. Stay in your spiritual identity. If you keep on hearing this and thinking about this, what Krishna has spoken in the second and third chapter, eventually it will be clear in the head that I am not this body. It will happen. It has to happen, because how we came to identify with the body like this? Because we thought like that for so many lifetimes. We became the body. Reverse also works. The reverse principle. If you keep on reading Bhagavad Gita, the second and third chapter, and if you keep on in your mind reflecting on this all the time, eventually, body, mind, intelligence, everything will leave you. And you will come to the Swarupam, in your real identity as the soul. There is no other shortcut to that. This is the Jnani process. Jnanam process is this. That they, according to their logic, which is very logical, isn't it? How did I come to this bodily identification? Because I thought I am this body due to the all the ragadvesham I have created and the ignorance that has caused me to identify with the body, result of that. So if it can happen in that way, the reverse can also happen. Then I can go back to my identity as the soul. If I continuously analyze all what Krishna has spoken in the second and third chapter, and if I keep on spending my energy, this is sadhana, this is self-realization, that at one some time it will happen, it has to happen. It all depends on the intensity, shraddha, insight, how intense we are in pursuing that. So Krishna says here, വാചം യച്ച മനോ യച്ച പ്രാണാന്യച്ച ഇന്ദ്രിയാണിച്ച ആത്മാനം ആത്മനോ യച്ച ന ഭൂയ കൽപ്പസേ അധ്വനേ. ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ഓർഡർ ടു ഡു ദാറ്റ് ടു ബിക്കോസ് ദിസ് പ്രോസസ് ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് വാചം യച്ച ദാറ്റ് യു ഹാവ് ടു റെഗുലേറ്റ് യുവർ വേർഡ്സ് റെസ്ട്രിക്ട് ദാറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ടു സെൻസസ് ആർ ഓട്ടോമീഡിയറ്റ്ലി കൺട്രോൾഡ് ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് ദ ടങ് ഈസ് കൺട്രോൾഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് വാചം യച്ച മീൻസ് കൺട്രോളിംഗ് ദ ടങ് ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്സ് what we speak. So one karmendriyam has stopped, one jnanendriyam also under control. Vajam yacha mano yacha, manas also regulate the thoughts, chitavruti that is coming inside. Pranan yacha, through pranayamam control the pranan inside. Indriyanicha, senses also in the same way. Atmanam atmano yacha, soul being situated on the spiritual platform, stay in that position, and that is the Nemanam for the soul. And Nabhuya Kalpase Adhvani. That if you do like that, Krishna says, you don't have to take rebirth again. You don't have to accept another body again. That is the conclusion. In other words, Krishna says that you don't have to rotate in the cycle of birth and death. Samsara Chakram. That is what Krishna is saying here. And all thing we have to know is that beyond the intelligence, there is another principle, which is the soul. See, right now, in our realization, I put it, in our realization, we accept the senses, we accept the mind, we accept the intelligence. Only thing we don't accept is the soul, isn't it? These three things we all accept, because in our daily life we are practicing it. About intelligence, while we're talking, we say, think about it, use your intelligence. All these expressions we say to people, isn't it? Yeah. And we also know that to my mind, that means we are, in my daily life, mind, intelligence and senses are all have a regular role. But soul doesn't have that role, because it's only a witness there in everything. We will never say, my soul has told me like this. We never say to anybody like that, do we? You say, my mind has said, says to me, to my mind it says, or my intelligence tells me like that. So soul is the only thing that you have kept out of the equation. Kept out of the equation. Krishna is saying here that if you do this, vajam yacha mano yacha pranan yacha indriyani cha atmanam atmano yacha nabhuya kalpase adhvane. Krishna says that beyond intelligence there is a tattvam, and if you know that, and if you have understood that, realized it, intelligence, mind, the body, false ego, they are all conditional. They are all conditional. They have no real existence. None of them are real. Mind is not real. When we say real means what? Krishna's definition of real reality you have to accept first. Krishna says something is real if it is sattva. Sattva means it will always has to exist. None of these four, mind, intelligence, false ego, the material body, has a permanent existence. They are temporary. Once it is temporary, they are conditional. That's why it's called conditioning, isn't it? We are conditioned by them. So they have no real existence. They are temporarily there. This body is there today, that will go tomorrow, another body will come. The body as we see. The senses, the same thing. The mind, exactly the same thing. Intelligence, also same thing. Can you know? You cannot give a reality to any of these things, a real existence to any of these things, mind, intelligence, body, and the senses. They are all on a relative platform. You can say they exist on a relative platform. On an absolute platform, none of these is existing, so they have no real existence. That's Krishna's point. So all these things, which one? Material body, mind, intelligence, false ego, they are all in the hands of the material nature. They are all in the hands of material nature. What have you got in your hand? Only the soul. The soul is the only thing what you have got, actually. All other things are imposed upon you by the material nature, according to the reason. So, therefore we say, that whatever freedom people ask this question, isn't it? What freedom do I have? People ask this question. Always they ask this. That, if you are saying like this, every this prarabdham, what is my freedom? What freedom do I have? Some people will say that you are, because you are, they will say like this. They will say that you have a limited freedom. They say, isn't it? Limited independence. So, they will ask, how much independence is that? How much is that limited? they want a figure for that, a figure put onto that. Actually, all this is meaningless in the sense that on an absolute platform, you have no freedom as far as these things are concerned. Which one? The body, the mind, intelligence, senses, false ego. They all belong to material nature. Belong to material nature. You have complete freedom as far as the soul is concerned. That's what you are, and you can identify with that and act on that spiritual platform. You have complete freedom. Nobody can touch that. That's your freedom. But these are conditioning happened, which has come upon you in the form of upadhi. That's why in Shastram they are called upadhi. I don't know what the right English word for that, because upadhi, it has its own impact of that word, upadhi. It means it is holding you and controlling you, but it can leave you also one day. It doesn't have to stay with you forever. It can stay with you temporarily, but while there, it will control you. Upadhis will control you. That's why it's called upadhi. Upadhi, the word itself is meaning that. Upadhi means it comes, stays, controls you, and then it can leave you. When you are self-realized, these things go. So it can leave you also. So that's why Krishna says here that in our freedom, the freedom what we have is only this one thing, that I am existing. That much freedom, that nobody can take it away from you. Whether you leave this body, you accept another body, you go into Sushupti state, all the time I am existing. That you, nobody can take it away. Why? That is Sat. Nasade Vidyade Bhavo. Krishna remembers that word, Krishna's word. That's why that verse is so important, because it is based on that principle this whole Bhagavad Gita is operating. That the Ubhayoravi Drishtvandam Stanayor Tattva Darshavi. The sages have found this out. That is the only thing that is Sat, that is the soul. Everything else is material nature. Everything else is material nature. So, knowing that consciousness of the soul, evam buddhe param bhutva samstavya atmanam atmana. Krishna says here, isn't it? Evam buddhe param buddhva. Knowing that, Krishna says, evam buddhe param buddhva. Knowing that truth, samstavya atmanam atmana, he says here. Samstavya atmanam atmana. That means, be stay situated in on that platform as the soul and stay in that swarupam, in your identity. If you do like that, what will happen? Jahishatram mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. Krishna says in the next two lines, isn't it? Jahishatram mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. This desire inside, mind, false ego, we are saying all this thing. Only when these desires are inside, kamarupam durasadam, inside, you can see the mind and the false ego. Only in their presence. That means, only when these desires are inside, kamarupam durasadam, when the desires are inside, only then mind, false ego, intelligence all exist. Otherwise, they don't exist. Very difficult to understand that, isn't it? That we have 100% conviction that we have got intelligence, mind, and everything. But Krishna is saying, because you have vasanas inside, in the form of kamarupam, kamam, desires inside, that is why it gives life to mind, it gives life to intelligence, life to senses and everything. Otherwise, they don't exist. That means in our pure state of consciousness as the soul, they have no existence. They have to leave us at that point when we are completely in identification with the soul. So, as much as when you go towards the soul, our attention is on the soul, that will disappear. That will disappear. And this will only happen through this knowledge, what is in the Bhagavad Gita. It's not going to happen. And just like all other things, you can keep it under control. Only when the light comes, darkness will go. Only when the light comes, darkness will go. Not otherwise. In the darkness, if I have a stick in my hand and checking everywhere which way to go through, that is not the actual solution. And if there is no light, then you can take a stick and walk around. But similarly, all the other sadhana is like that. All other sadhana is like that. When the light comes in, or when the realization comes in, once the light comes in, then all other darkness will go away. There will be no block after that. What is that knowledge Krishna is talking about? That is Swarupam, one's own spiritual identity. And that is called Vijnanam. Or this experience that I am existing beyond the mind, beyond the intelligence, and beyond the senses. subtle than the senses are the mind, and subtle than the mind is the intelligence, and even beyond the subtlety of the intelligence, there is this powerful thing, complete substance, vastu, is the soul. And that is always independent. And he's always independent, and he's eternal as well. And that is pure, Shuddham. So when they define in the Vedanta philosophy, when they define the soul, how do they define? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That's how they define the soul. Nityam, eternal. Shuddham, pure. Buddham, always consciousness. Muktam, always liberated. That is the nature of the soul. So realizing that, if you keep your foundation, basis on that, then the house will last. then the house you are building will last forever, if the foundation is built on that. If the foundation is built on the mind, it will be like a castle on the sand. It will collapse. If the foundation is built on the intelligence, it will collapse. Foundation is built on the body, it will collapse. But if the foundation is built, or the building is constructed on that adhishthanam, adhishthanam means on that basis of the soul, if you keep that as adhishthanam, that house you will never collapse. That house will never collapse. If you build a house in the mind, in the body, in the intelligence, when the body goes, that house also will go. Identity also will go like that. But if our house is built on Swarupam, our identity as the soul, that will never be lost. That will never be lost. It is interesting because when Uddhava asked Krishna about death, do you know in the Bhagavatam, when Uddhava asked about death, there is a verse there. It's worthwhile looking at that now. Because when Krishna talks about death, he doesn't talk like us about death. When we talk about death, it's for us leaving the body, isn't it? For Krishna, it is different. What is that verse coming? Can't remember. Krishna is saying there that death is not a big thing, he says to Uddhava. Uddhava, why you consider death as a big thing? He says, Krishna is talking purely from the spiritual identity. Why he is saying like that is, Krishna is saying that you have identified with this body for a long time. You have identified with this body for a long time. What happens at the time of death is that due to the powerful vasanas inside, that vasanas creates another body for you. Vasanas creates another body for you. And all what is happening at that point is, your memory that I was this body, you suddenly lost it. Little by little, this new body that is going to come to you started appearing in front of you. And suddenly you started thinking, am I not that new body? As soon as your attention goes like that to the new body, the old body is gone. So as far as Krishna is concerned, when your Shraddha has moved away from the old body to the new body, that is what we call as death. Because we don't know the subtle side of this change of body. Krishna says, you can look at it in the Bhagavadam, can't remember which chapter it is, it says there, Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. That is a word Krishna uses. Vismriti. Vismriti means forgetfulness. Forgetfulness of what? Forgetfulness of this body. When you forget this body, you get the next body. When you forget that body, you get the next body. Krishna calls, this is what is called death. Of course, from the material point of view, when we say when somebody dies, we cry and we feel all sorts of things. But Krishna is talking to us from the spiritual position. That body is not such an important thing in this world. If you come to the spiritual platform, body has no value anymore. It has no value. You are waiting only for that to leave and go. Leave yourself and go away. That's all what you are waiting for. And Krishna will say this, you should wait like that whole life for this to go. Just like he says, he gives the example that when people come to work on the farm in the villages, when they come to work in the morning, they know they have to work till the evening, and in the evening they will get the wages. Krishna says similarly, if you wait for this, one day it will drop. You don't have to worry, he says. It will leave you and go. But if you have waited properly, you will know when it leaves that you can go to a better destination, if your waiting was proper. So therefore, Krishna says there that Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. Up to that point, in your memory, this body was existing. Right? In your memory, the body was existing. But as soon as a powerful memory came of the next body, you have completely lost the memory of this body, and that is called a death. That's called a death. So death is death is sometimes people give a different imagination about the death, isn't it? What will happen to me at the time of death? What disease I'm going to get? We are worried about all those things. At that point, what's going to happen? But Krishna's point is mrityu atyanta vismriti. Atyanta vismriti. Atyanta vismriti means once for all forgetting it. That's called mrityu. What is this once for all forgetting? You see, forgetfulness has a lot to do with it. Just like, say for example, you had been planning to go somewhere. You had been planning to go somewhere. And in your mind, the thought of going there and executing a particular activity, if that thought becomes very strong inside, what will happen? While leaving, you may forget your purse, you may forget to take something else, or something you will miss out. It depends on the intensity of thought inside, how intense it is, isn't it? Suppose you had a certain regulation on that you felt that, oh, I'm going there to do this such and such a thing. But if the thing what you're going to do there is affecting you very strongly, and it's creating a lot of thoughts, chittavritti inside, in that process, you will forget something which was not that important. And then, maybe you forgot to take your wallet. You went to catch a bus or something, and only there you realized, oh, forgot to take the wallet. Why it has happened? Because of the more powerful thought has come inside of the work what you are going to do there. If that overpowers you, you will forget this one thing what you are planning to take with you, because so many things you are pulling it together to go to the trip. But so that's what Krishna is saying here also. With respect to the body, when another body comes in front of you and that becomes very powerful, when we say another body, that body is not the gross body we are talking about. That subtle body, according to the vasanas, you have created that subtle body. If that body, in your imagination, you have created that body, it hasn't actually manifested yet. If you have created that inside, then this subtle body which has created that is very conveniently forgets this gross body and goes to creates the next gross body and goes into it. Krishna calls that as the death. Mrityu atyanta vismriti. He says to Uddhava, it's not a big deal, this death. He says, it's not a big deal, he says. Mrityu atyanta vismriti. All that's happening is there that you are forgetting your old body. That's all. Nothing more than that, he says. Mrityu atyanta vismriti. So here, Jahishatru Mahabaho Kamarupam Durasadam, Krishna says there. Isn't it? Jahishatru Mahabaho Kamarupam Durasadam. So, after saying this, that if you build that house in that soul, if you build your castle there, Krishna says, you will never lose it. You will never lose it. That's the only place where you can be permanently situated. All other places, you have to keep changing. You are forced to change. Just like we change houses, isn't it? This house is not good, so we move to another house. Or due to some other reason. But somehow or the other, we have to change houses. So Krishna is saying, if you stay in the mind, if you stay in the intelligence and you build your house there, you will have to change. But if you build a house in the soul, there is no question of changing again. After saying that, Krishna moves on to the next chapter. After saying this, Krishna moves on to the next chapter. So, here, what is the ultimate goal of Karma Yoga? We have talked about Karma Yoga now, this whole chapter, isn't it? Karma Yoga, only one goal, to go back to the soul, to be situated on the soul. All yoga system, ultimately the goal is the same thing. And that is what Krishna has shown here. Ultimately, Krishna is saying here, at the end of this Karma Yoga chapter, you have to be situated on the platform of the soul. Be situated on the platform of the soul. Let the body do its work. Let the body do its work. And that's called Karma Yoga. That's called Karma Yoga. Yoga means what? A perfection. Purnasthiti. Complete perfection. And that means, if I have not thought that I am the doer, I am in perfection. If I am thinking that I am not the doer, then I am in perfection. I am in perfection because body is doing it. I have left that body. Kartrutvam, that sthiti, that state of not being the doer is the perfectional stage. Karma Yoga is the main thing. This is the one important message coming through. That to make us convinced that I am not the doer. I am not the doer. To get that firmly fixed up. When you say I am not the doer, what does that mean? There is no false ego anymore. Isn't it? Ahankara rahidam, it is. There is no ahankaram inside anymore after that. And that is the state Krishna calls the samadhi. All the realized soul, Krishna was in this state all the time while in this world. That is why kind of things what Krishna has done in this world were completely unaffected by 100% by anything what was happening in this world. Came to this world, appeared in front of all Vasudev Devaki. From day one started all kinds of activities. Number one, first day itself the journey started. The day appeared, the journey started from then. To transfer to Gokulam, and from there to Vrindavanam, and from Vrindavanam so many years, then to Mathura, Mathura to Dwaraka, Dwaraka, and then left the world from there. Isn't it? So you can see there, this state, in all these places, various activities, but completely unaffected by anything. In all situations, that is samadhi. Samadhi state. Tato alpa bhodam eva iha tato tushnim avastida prokta samadhi shabdhena. This is Yoga Vasishtam statement on the samadhi state. Samadhi state is not just sitting like a jadam, dead matter. In full realization like this and being active in that. Even if while being active, that means while doing anything, I am not the doer. And there is no false ego at any point in time. Even the trace of false ego doesn't exist in anything. That's why remember we talked about Krishna's activities. He was a representative for the Pandavas. Driving the chariot for them, washing the feet of all the personalities who came for Rajasuyam. Krishna had no problem in doing anything like that. And on each day of the Mahabharata war, after the war was over, during the day, in the night, he used to take all the horses and the chariot to the river, wash them, all the horses, and get them ready for the next day for the battle. In this way, Krishna has done served Arjuna. And Arjuna was nicely sleeping that time when Krishna was busy with all these things. So this is Krishna. That ahankara rahidam, without any false ego inside, able to operate in all circumstances. Whether serving Sudama Brahmana, whether serving Arjuna, or while living with 16,108 wives in Dwaraka, in the palaces, all situations, Krishna is not touched by anything. That is Krishna. Or while dancing with the gopis in Vrindavanam. Or killing his own uncle, Kamsa. Or performing accepted as the Agrasana Puja in the important guest in the Rajasuyam sacrifice. In so many roles, Krishna has played that pastimes here, isn't it? In so many different roles. Have you seen anywhere Krishna's having a little, even a trace of false ego or a trace of impact on him in anything? Absolutely not. Why is that? This state all the time in the soul. Soul I am, not the body. So this consciousness, as much as this realization, what does it bring in? It brings in this understanding, completely removes I am the doer and this false ego. These two things goes away from here. Ahangaram, false ego, is considered like a planet. Like a planet. Ahangara muktaha, ahangara graha muktaha, surupa upalabhyade, chandravat vimala purnaha, sadananda swayam prabhaha. That this ahangaram, false ego, if that planet leaves us, then we will be like the moon, very clean and clear, and our heart will be illuminated in that way, like the moonshine. And Swayam Prabha, it will be self-effulgent at that time. And that Swayam Prabha, self-effulgent, truth inside, Satyavastu, and Krishna, who is that, is continuously inside us. Continuously inside us. He is inside us all the time, our soul, what we are referring to. Then Krishna let Krishna gives us that understanding. That's all we can say at this stage. Isn't it? At the end of this third chapter, the second and third chapter are very important chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever Krishna has to say to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken in these two chapters, in the second and the third chapter. He has spoken everything what he has to say to Krishna. This is the only message in the Bhagavad Gita. So, but we read it, we hear that, but still for us we have still difficulty to realize it, isn't it? We have a difficulty to realize it. But so long as we are in the path, one day it will happen. As I mentioned before, that the identity with the body has happened over a period of time. Over a period of time. Similarly, over a period of time only, this can leave us. So, Krishna Prabhupada also mentions at the end of that chapter, in the last verse, one may not give up work. One may not give up work and prescribe duties all of a sudden. Yeah? Can you see that at the end of that chapter, in the purport? One may not give up work and prescribe duties all of a sudden. We must know what that means. One may not give up work. That means don't stop working, Krishna is saying. Prescribe duties. Prescribe duty means whatever that has come according to prarabdham. You have to take it on board. But by gradually developing Krishna consciousness, one can be situated in a transcendental position without being influenced by the material senses and the mind, by steady intelligence directed toward one's own pure identity. This is the sum total of this chapter. This is the sum total of this chapter. So, this chapter has only one thing to tell us. Be situated on the spiritual identity and let the body do what it has to do in this world. Leave the body to its own karmam, whatever that comes as prarabdham. But to cultivate this understanding, I am not the doer. And let the false ego also disappear along with that. So all these things are mentioned in that chapter. And if this chapter has been heard well, I will mention it like that. If it has, when I say heard well, means not came through this and went through that. Not that hearing. If it has heard, gone in and gone in, died down, deep down. And if there is enough reflection on this chapter, particularly the second and the third chapter, if it is well reflected, all other chapters which are in the Bhagavad Gita afterwards become very easy to understand. It's not difficult. If these two chapters are understood very well. And hearing this and reflection on this is samadhi. Because this is the message what Krishna has given through Bhagavad Gita to this world. And this hearing itself is the dhyanam, meditation. And shravanam itself is the Krishna's mercy. And once we have heard these two chapters, second chapter and the third chapter, if you keep on reflecting on this on a regular basis for a long period of time, you will start, that will become the truth inside. That will become the truth inside. And it will start giving us realizations on its own, because that knowledge is so powerful. Even if you have no external input into the body, into the mind, inside this knowledge will start its effect, impact on us. And that happens with Krishna's mercy. That's where we have to constantly pray to Krishna to get this, give this realizations to us. So, we have heard these two chapters now. Two chapters. Second and the third chapter. So, before I continue with the further, want to ask you if you are happy to continue or not with the fourth chapter, or were you expecting to stop this at this point in time?
We were expecting to continue.
So if you all decide that we will continue, I have no problem. I am willing to continue. Because each and every chapter after this is only adding to these two chapters what we have heard so far from Bhagavad Gita. The second and third chapter, this is the cream of the Bhagavad Gita's message is in these two. The coming chapters, you will notice that it's adding on to this chapters and this knowledge in the second and the third chapter. Second chapter particularly important because it's the whole message is summarized in that. But third chapter, as I mentioned before, the question came up Because Krishna has, Arjuna asked the question, isn't it? That confusion happened between jnanam and karma. So Krishna had to clarify that. And that is why Karma Yoga was spoken. Although Karma Yoga was discussed in the second chapter, remember that Krishna said to Arjuna, that karmanneva adhigaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahedbur made sangostvakarmani, that was spoken in the second chapter. So when Krishna spoke that second chapter, Arjuna had the doubt, why do you push me in the direction of karma if jnanam is important? So it is then that Krishna had to get involved and say to Arjuna, important thing Arjuna, it is not karmam that is important. What is important is making karmam as a yogam is important. Not karmam is important. Karmam, any karmam, so many people are doing in this world karmam. But how to make karmam as a yogam, karma yogam is more important. And that is how karma yogam was spoken, where Krishna explained that this important thing called aham karta, aham bhokta must go from inside. Only then it is karma yogam. And also the important understanding that it is a yogam when there is that aham bhokta has to go. I am not the enjoyer of all my karma, my mind, body, intelligence, everything is doing. So in this way, and then he told us also one important thing. In order that karma yogam to manifest, to function properly, karmam has to become a yajnam. Otherwise, it's not karma yogam. It has to become a yajnam. Isn't it? That yajna cycle, he explained how whole nature is working under this cycle of yajnam. The sun, the moon, the stars, the wind, the fire, the sea, the mountains, oceans, everything is a part of that whole cycle, how it is functioning as a yajnam. Krishna explained that, isn't it? So unless we, one small part of this whole creation, also follow that same cycle, what Krishna has explained as yajnam, Krishna is saying that it will not, you will never feel any fulfillment. You will simply become otherwise lost in this creation, accepting new body, changing the body, continuously that cycle will continue. If you want to escape, free yourself from this cycle, the only way Krishna explains there, karmam should become a karma yogam. In other words, karmam should become a yajnam. We must also get out of this misunderstanding that karmam will not make us perfect in spiritual life. That's a complete, total misunderstanding. By increasing the karmam all the time, it's not going to make spiritual life in perfection. Perfection in spiritual life comes from jnanam and bhakti. Jnanam and bhakti is what? Jnanam is understanding with all these things and the devotion bhakti from that. So that is what makes perfection. Bhagavad Gita is very absolutely clear on that, on these issues. So, but because karmam is the integral part of our existence in this world, and because karmam is holding us back, unable to free ourselves from this karma mandalam, from the world of karmam, Krishna spoke about karma yogam first in the Bhagavad Gita. Clean up your karmam first, and then other things will come. That is the principle. First clean up your this thing, karmam first. So how to clean up the karmam? That is karma yogam. How to clean up the karmam is karma yogam. And when karma yogam is executed properly, Krishna says what will happen? Chitta shuddhi will happen. The purity will develop inside, whereby you will become receptive to the transcendental knowledge. Where you will become receptive to the transcendental knowledge. Knowledge will come natural way. What is preventing us from acquiring that knowledge is karmam, karma vasanas inside, raga dvesham inside, which Krishna explained in this third chapter, that which covers the soul, jnana vijnana nashanam, he calls it, isn't it? It covers the mind, body, intelligence, everything in the form of knowledge it covers. That is destroyed, that knowledge is destroyed. And the knowledge of self-realization, vijnanam, is also covered by that kamam inside. So desires have to go. In the second chapter, Krishna spoke about that, isn't it? Desires must go. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan atmanyeva atmanat sushta. He says, You have to be situated on the platform of the soul. There is no other way you can free yourself from the miseries of this world. Saying that, Krishna stressed in the second chapter about the importance of sthita prajñatvam, how to be steady in that steady intelligence, as they call it. He calls it as sthita prajñatvam. At the end of the second chapter, Krishna called Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha. That Brahmi Sthiti, the state of Brahman or self-realization, is important. And how to attain that. 72 verses in the second chapter, Krishna spoke about that. After that, clarifying Arjuna's question and understanding Arjuna's crisis inside, because he wanted to take the easy route, thinking that Jnanamargam is easier, which is not easier for Arjuna. That's why Krishna wanted to clarify at that point itself that Arjuna wanted to take sannyasam and go away. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, by nature, you have all these vasanas inside, which means karmam is there. He has to perform karmam. He has no choice. Otherwise, you are not going to... Straight away, if you take to Jnanamargam, what will happen? Arjuna sannyasam will be the result. That will happen. So, he convinced Arjuna on this point that for you, the only option is karmam. Only option is karma, not jnanam. It's not your option. So he took Arjuna in that route and made him understand that you follow this karma, what has come to you as a kshatriya, as your prescribed duty, as Prabhupada calls that, execute that and get rid of that vasana. But while executing that, act in this consciousness that I am not the doer, nor I am the expecting the results from that. Do it as your prescribed duty and goes like that. Kshatriya dharma has to be continued. If you do it that way, he says, karma vasana will also clear up from inside and you will become qualified for the jnanam and bhakti later. Jnanam and bhakti later. So you can see in our spiritual life, as soon as one comes in to spiritual life, the first and foremost thing is this sorting out karma first. If karma is not sorted, that's why in all traditions, when you come to spiritual life, first thing is you do a few years free seva. Free seva. Not expecting anything in return. Just do it as a mandatory requirement that you do it without expectation of anything. Because if you do that, what will happen is you have learned a little bit how to do things without expecting anything. That training happens that at least a few years. We should do that. And some purity will come from out of it. Even the social work, even other things also, it can help purity to some extent. But because it's not centered around any philosophy and philosophical understanding or Krishna consciousness, all the social work also eventually ends up in sense gratification. That's what happens. So everything should be done in knowledge. Otherwise it will not work. It will all, because there is no proper direction, goal. When you are serving also as a seva, the seva should be with this understanding that knowledge is important, bhakti is important, jnanam and bhakti is important, and let this purify my karma and the karma vasana let go away. And without attachment, if we do that, karma vasanas also will disappear in due course. So that's a benefit from doing that. So after saying all these things, Krishna concluded this third chapter there, and then Krishna goes on to the fourth chapter. We'll just start this now for a few minutes and then we'll stop. So, when this fourth chapter, there's a lot of introduction needed for the fourth chapter also. Why is it like that? Because if you look into Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam are very closely linked, and you will enjoy it and you understand that link between the two. Connection between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. It is so closely linked, particularly Ekadasha Skandam and Bhagavad Gita. Practically, there is not much of a difference. But it's spoken in two different occasions, between on the two different personalities, that's all. But otherwise, in the Bhagavadam, Krishna says to Uddhava, Atmano Gurur Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. There is a verse we discussed this in the Ekadasha Skandam earlier. That Krishna says there, first of all, a living entity must have Shreyas. Shreyas and Prayas, isn't it? Two things. We all know about it. Every devotee knows. Shreyas and Prayas. He will say he is on the path of Shreyas. So, Shreyas and Prayas, these are two things which come and stand in front of us. Isn't it? You know what that means, isn't it? Shreyas and Prayas. Shreyas means what is in the long run auspicious for us. Prayas means that gives you something immediate happiness. Shreyas and Prayas. So Krishna says here in Kathopanishad also, Nachiketas was there. To Nachiketas, Yama told the same thing. Yama was saying the same thing to Nachiketas also. Nachiketas, you know the story in Kathopanishad, when Nachiketas went to see Yama, Yama asked the question that what have you come for? And there Nachiketas wanted to know from Yama what happens after death. And he says to Yama, you are the only person who can answer it. Nobody else can answer that. Yama says, I won't tell you that. You don't have to know that. But I'll give you something else so that you can go. Don't push me on this question, he said. So there, Yama says to him, Shreyascha prayascha manushyameta stau samparitya vivinanti dhiraha shreyohi dhirobi prayaso vrinite prayo mando yogakshemat vrinite. This is one verse from the Kathopanishad. He says here, Shreyascha prayascha manushyameta. These two things, Shreyas and Prayas, will come and stand in front of you, telling you, take one of us. Whom do you want? Shreyas and Prayas. They are coming in front of a man and telling him, accept one of us. Whom do you want? Tau sambhiritya vivinakti dhiraha. That one who has completely had deeper understanding of things, he will make the proper discrimination at this point in time in life. That's what I say. Sau samparitya vivinakti dhiraha. He is dhira, who has made the decision, I want Shreyas in my life, not Prayas. All those who are after sense enjoyment, material sense gratification, and advancement in material life, they are all after Prayas. The only person who is after Shreyas is the one who is realizing the soul, self-realization. That's the only thing what is called Shreyas. Shreyohi dhirobhi, he is dhira. Prayaso vrinide prayo mando yogakshemad vrinide. One who is after Prayas, he is manda. His intelligence is very dull. Dull intelligence. The other one is called dhira. That means he is courageous and he's made the proper decision. Because to make some good decision, you need some strength inside, isn't it? So that's what he says here. Shreyohi dhirobhi prayaso vrinide prayo mando. One who is after prayas is manda. Yoga kshemat vrinite. That he says that is yoga kshemal vrinide. For yoga man kshemam, he thinks prayas will help him. And he goes after prayas. So, one who he has got discrimination, he is dhira and he accepts Shreyas. And one who has got that discrimination between Shreyas and Prayas, he is called dhira. Dhira, normally we say in a different sense, isn't it? Dhira means one is very courageous. For example, one who can climb Everest is dhira, we call him. Or one who fights a war, or one who can wrestle with somebody and win the wrestling match or something like that. But that is not the dhiratvam in a person. That is not considered dhira in the shastram. The shastram, dhi means intelligence and or knowledge. And dhi, one who is ramam. Rama means one who is absorbed in the dhi, intelligence, he is called dhira. Ramanam means to experience a pleasure or pleasure. One who finds pleasure in the in intelligence, he is called dhira. Dhira. So, another meaning for the word dhira is, when the senses are all very powerful, that means while in youth and the body is in a good condition, dhiratvam akshaprabalya pravartanam. That means, when the indriyas or senses are very, very powerful, he does not go after sense gratification when the senses are powerful. Because senses at a particular stage in life is very powerful, isn't it? Once you finish your, in the youth, particularly say between 20 and 30 or something like that, that is a peak time in the human body. We feel the desire for sense gratification, isn't it? The urge for sense gratification is peaking at that time. It is not so much before that, and it is not so bad after that, because the body started showing its true colors, and then you say, now we have to be careful, and we become more conscious of that. But between 20 and 30, I'm just giving a rough figure, that it can go even sometimes 35, 40 also. But sometimes even up to 80, it never comes to an end, some people. But generally, between that stage in life is when one who is able to stay away from sense enjoyment, and one whose mind has turned towards spiritual goal or spiritual realization, he is dhira. He is dhira. So, one who engages in Krishna consciousness at that time, that is dhirata or dhiratvam. So, in other words, a devotee who is looking for the truth and progressing in spiritual path at that age, he is dhira. He is courageous to do that. Of course, all the senses are very powerful. In normal world, general world, we are talking about the ordinary world, what is bhakti? When you talk about them, about bhakti, they'll say, we don't have enough time for all this bhakti and all that kind of things. They'll say like that, isn't it? Many people say like that. Most of the young people, if you ask them, they are very busy with their career and money-making business. That's all they're busy about. So if you ask them, they'll say, we just don't have the time. We are caught up in this, we are caught up in that. Therefore, it is said that while being a child, one should take to bhakti process. Sometimes young people say, we'll do all this at the old age, like we all said. Isn't it? We'll do it at the old age. Now we know what's happening at the old age in our own life. Isn't it? Body is not listening. Mind is not listening. And problem from everywhere. All kinds of problems have come. No, so there is no question of doing it at the old age. It's not saying to depress people, but the fact is that the prayers from the acharyas are like that. They are saying that don't leave it to the old age. Don't leave it to the old age. So, Acharya Swamiji says about this, apologizing about this, he says that that what he has done, he is quoting himself, and he's saying to saying like this, that I have done this. Adau karma prasangat kalayadi kalusham madra kuchao sthidam mam vinmutra medhyamadhye kodhayadi nidaram jadaro jadavedaha yadyadvai tatra dukham mrdayadi nidaram shakrade shakyade kena vaktum chandavyome aparadaha shiva 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 bho shri mahadeva shambho. Ajari Swamiji addressing Lord Shiva is saying to him that adyo karma prasangat kalayadi kalusham. That it is his apologies to Lord Shiva. As a devotee, he is saying this. Whether you address Lord Shiva or Lord Krishna, it is the same thing inside. The thoughts of a devotee is similar. He is saying to him, Ado karma prasangad. When I got into the mother's womb, I had so much karma vasana inside, in me. And kalayadi kalusham madrakuchav sthidamma. Madrakuchav means mother's womb. When I was staying there, I was situated with all these kind of desires inside. Kalusham. Kalusham means polluted. In my whole consciousness was polluted. Inside I was polluted. And what about outside? Vinmutra amedhya madhyem. Urine and stool, I am lying there. Outside also is polluted. Kvathayadi nidaram jadharo jadavedaha. That kvathayadi nidaram, that while living within that body, that I was, where is the question of me thinking about something auspicious? Inside is completely polluted because of all the vasanas I brought with me. Outside, this is the situation. Even outside is sometimes important, isn't it? You can feel the difference when you are in a very pleasing atmosphere, how sattugunam comes up. And when you are in a very disturbed state, in the middle of traffic, and how rajogunam pops up straight away. And in the lower places, how tamogunam develops in us. So all these differences you can notice yourself. So Ajari Swamiji says there, while I was in the womb, my inside was all polluted because of all the vasanas I had. Outside was also polluted because of the environment what I was in. And how do I expect anything to happen to me? And saying this, he apologizes, yadyadvai tatra dukham vridayati nidaram shakyade kena vaktum. Tell me what I should do. Because yad yadvai tatra dukham, wherever I look, there is only dukham. distress only, what I am encountering upon. Chandavyome aparadaha, that forgive me for my offences what I have done. Or offences what I have done. Why? I got into this situation because I have committed so many crimes. So many crimes I have committed. Chandavyome Shiva 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 Bho Shri Mahadeva Shambho. That all I have done is continuously I have conducted this karma in this world, accepted this different kinds of body and karma vasanas inside, which has gone along with me, and I've ended up in this situation in the womb. This is where I am. And how do you expect me to do anything? Please. So only thing at that stage, all one can do is to cry. All one can do is to cry and say to Krishna that I have committed this offences in me, inside. And I know the result of that, you have given this to me. I have to take this position in the womb of the mother. Inside is all kalushyam. Kalushyam means it's completely polluted. Outside is equally bad, and there is no chance of further escape from here. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.